Judge me!
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk! All right, we are off and running on a feel-good football rainy Friday, baby, in the nation's capital. And beyond 3 minutes and change after the hour, Matty Ice is here on the other side of the glass. I'm here solo, which means I have more room to breathe and more air to breathe. And theoretically, that means there's more room for you guys at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. As we approach 4:05 on Sunday afternoon, State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, building I've been at three or four times.
Sure.
Hey, listen, maybe you've been there once. I don't know if you played there at Arizona State. Hey, listen. Just because you're the NFC Offensive Player of the Week does not mean you can chime in on this show when you think you can.
You know, you are old.
No. Stop beating up on me about my age, Jaden. This is not an old versus young thing. You're really good at playing football. Just stay in your lane, and I'll talk about football. I'm pretty decent at it. Just shut the bleep up.
I don't even know.
Hey, stop chiming in. It's my show. What do you think you are, Linnell?
Sure.
Anyway, Jaden Daniels returning to Arizona, where he once played his college ball for 3 years, actually, as the quarterback of Arizona State. And he will go against the Arizona Cardinals defense, which is interesting, right? Because Jonathan Gannon, in some ways, has done a nice job with that defense. And, in some ways, he has very little talent. We're going to go over all of that. We're going to get into how the Commanders can win this game. We're going to have our dueling Super Six Packs. We are guest free unless something comes up that we don't know about. So there's plenty of room for you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you can't get through on the phones or if you don't want to wait on hold, and we should be able to get to you quicker today, you can tweet or on put a message on the X or whatever the hell it's called. At WrestleMania621, Maddie's at Mr. _ me, 93, the radio station, at Team 980. I wanted to start with Thursday Night Football from last night before we get into the Commandalorians as they head to Glendale, or they're already in Glendale, and they've been in Glendale or Tempe for the last couple of days getting ready for this game. The Thursday night game, as everybody knows, was, to call it a masterpiece would be the furthest thing that you could possibly say about it, right? It was an ugly game. From an offensive perspective, from an execution perspective, from a penalty perspective, from an everything perspective, and I don't quite honestly know even how good the defenses were. It's not like, man, you have some good defensive components on both sides. I'm not suggesting that none of this was because of the defense, but you didn't watch this game going, boy, the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers just batted heads for 3 hours and the final score was 10-7. That's not what we're talking about here between the Giants and the Cowboys.
No, especially when most of the Giant plays that we saw got immediately brought back.
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem, right? I mean, if you start there, 11 penalties accepted for the Dallas Cowboys, 89 yards. Only 4 for the Giants for 35 yards. So, you know, you have a combined, 126 or whatever it is, yards of penalties, 15 accepted penalties. Now, that doesn't always mean those are the only penalties called, of course. Penalties for various reasons are either flags are picked up, like the holding call on Rico Daldell's touchdown to start the game, the 15-yard little screen to the left in the left flat.
All the offset penalties?
Or the offset penalties, or penalties that are declined, you know, for, again, various strategic reasons, what have you. So I thought it was really, 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 really interesting how, not that Al Michaels was critical. I mean, what does Al care about? He's 82 years old. I mean, so what are they going to do? Fire him? Who cares? I mean, I'm sure he would miss some part of his job, but whatever. He doesn't care. So he was critical of the officiating. Tyler Guyton, the left tackle for the Dallas Cowboys, who could have been a contender. He could have been a Washington Commander. Because as Hogshaven reminded me this morning, that Adam Peters allegedly, reportedly, tried to trade up for him. Now, they didn't. For what reason? I can only assume is teams wanted too much. But there were multiple left tackles that went in that sweet spot of the draft, like mid-20s, and multiple teams and multiple situations where you could have probably gotten a deal done if you really wanted to. And maybe you had an interest in a player, but you had a lukewarm would be wrong, but you didn't have a absolute surefire, no doubt about it, stone cold. I guess gut feel, for lack of a better term, again, about the player. So you didn't pull the trigger. Maybe it was just too much. Maybe you just didn't want to pay that much for anybody. Maybe it was about the player. We don't know. Okay? But if you watch that game last night, Tyler Guyton, who walked off the field, and I've seen the video, somebody in Dallas was recording as the Cowboys came off the field, as reporters often do. I mean, I did it in Tampa. Right? Tyler Guyton's yelling and bitching and moaning about how the NFL needs better officials. Listen, we all know the officiating is not good enough. We all know it's sloppy. We all know they miss calls. Last night, we had a situation, and Warren Sharp put it up on his feed, and everybody saw it, I guess, that way, where the Giants were called for a face mask 15 yards. And the Cowboys player was the one that committed the face mask. Right? So we had invisible ghost penalties. We all know that the penalty flow last night was A, heavily against the Cowboys. Not that anybody should feel bad about that. B, it ruined the flow of the football game. But I thought it was an interesting game from this standpoint. And by the way, Tyler Guyton should shut the hell up because he got beat like a drum last night. Now, he's going against Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns. I mean, but how many holding calls and the one blow up by Brian Burns on the run? Please shut up. Dude, you're a rookie. Shut up. Shut up. I don't care if you're a first round rookie. I don't care if you went to Oklahoma. Shut up. There was no flow to that game. Okay, we got it. Then the Giants, who lost a game 2 weeks ago that they should have won because they bungled their place-kicking situation, losing Graham Gano on the first play of the game. They bent but didn't break inside the red zone. They allowed 7 field goals. That was the 21 points that the Commanders scored. They lost a game 21-18 because of that. Well, last night, they can't score a touchdown. They kick 5 field goals with Greg Joseph, who is not very reliable, to be honest with you, and everybody around the NFL knows it. That's why he was out of a job. And yet, they kick 5 field goals, and they can't score a touchdown, and then they lose a game that way. The Cowboys only scored 20 points, and that was with CeeDee Lamb coming alive. Right? Remember we talked earlier this week? I think we asked Jay about it. We talked, Linnell and I, or maybe it was Doc and I can't remember, about CeeDee Lamb and what he had said, that he had cost his team the game, fumble, not catch, tantrum on the sideline, what have you. 7 catches, 8 targets, 98 yards, the long of 55 for the touchdown, which, quite honestly, the coverage wasn't awful on. It's just 2 Giants defenders, the corner and the safety, both overran and both kind of took, I don't know, somewhat bad angles from what I was able to see on multiple replay looks, and then even the next-gen stats charting, they just took kind of poor angles, if you will, at the catch point. And it led to a 55-yard catch and run. It wasn't anything special that Dak Prescott did. Now, certainly you want to tip your cap to CeeDee Lamb. Absolutely. And that was 55 of his 98. So it's not like he was a huge factor all game long, but still, he made the one play that you had to make. We mentioned the Dowdell touchdown, 15 yards early on in the game, late first quarter. Screen left. That capped the 12-play, 75-yard drive. Good drive by the Cowboys. Gave them the 7-3 lead. All right. You're figuring they've got a lather now, especially when they get CD in the second quarter. They didn't. I mean, they scored 6 points in the second half. They didn't score a touchdown. Now they missed out on 3 points on a Brandon Aubrey missed field goal late, which I get. The Twitterverse was just upset about and just having a hard time with and whatever. I don't know if we need to relitigate all that. I mean, you got Brandon Aubrey. You have a chance to go up 8 late in the game. Sure as hell makes sense to me, right? Now, on the Giants side, Malik Nabers going out with a concussion literally a couple of minutes after I said, man, Malik Nabers, and I said something to the sort is awesome, great, but he is just taking a beating. And then a couple of minutes later, he's got a concussion. Again, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. All right, maybe I am. I called it. I predicted it. I saw it coming. Malik Nabers was taking a beating, and that he did. Listen, you get targeted 15 times, you got 12 catches, you're going to get tackled a whole bunch. Not every time, because sometimes you obviously score, sometimes you run out of bounds, sometimes, I don't know, you avoid contact and you go down to the ground, whatever. But, you know, you're going to take 9 or 10 hits. And Malik Nabers took a bunch of them. And for everybody that makes fun of me about being worried about injuries, injuries can derail a team as quick as anything on planet Earth. The Cowboys now had 10 days off, 9 days off, whatever, not all off, to prepare for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They might be without Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence next Sunday. And they had other injuries, obviously, in the game. But yet they won because Daniel Jones didn't have Malik Nabers down the stretch after doing a good job in the first half and for much of the game with Wandale Robinson, who also had 14 targets. Imagine that. Wandale Robinson had 14 targets, 11 catches, 71 yards. Daniel Jones was 29 of 40, 281. No touchdowns, the interception. And all people will remember is the interception late at the end of the game on the deep pass inside the Dallas 5-yard line and say, see, Daniel Jones showed his true color. Well, he didn't have Malik Nabers, number one. That's most important. And throughout the game, he didn't have a running game. Devin Singletary, who seems to like to fumble a lot, 14 carries, 24 yards. Tyrone Tracy, who we talked about on the show yesterday, four carries, 2 yards. One catch, 19 yards. Now, he did have a catch along the sideline that I think was called back, if memory serves me correct. Singletary, one catch, 14 yards. So they got nothing, I mean nothing, out of their run game against a Dallas defense that had been shredded like mozzarella by Alvin Kamara and King Derrick Henry. The Giants ran for a net of 26 yards. 26. They controlled the ball for 35 minutes and 37 seconds. And yet, and I'm not telling you Daniel Jones was perfect. I'm not telling you that. And obviously they did whatever the cause was, run game, penalties, inefficiency in the pass game, whatever. Why they didn't score any touchdowns and they had to convert 5 field goals. I got it. But all I kept seeing on my timeline, on people that I follow, smart smarter people than me, believe it or not, there are smarter people than me, was how terrible Daniel Jones was. How awful Daniel Daniel Jones was fine. I mean, you want to say he was above average? Okay. 29 of 42, 81. Again, touchdown in the late interception on the last play of the game. In desperation mode. Daniel Jones was fine. He wasn't great. He wasn't very good. He was fine. 29 of 42, 81. Can we back the bleep off of Daniel Jones? That's three games in a row where he's looked more than the part. Now, you want to say, well, he makes $45 million a year. Listen, that's on you, man. Like, you same people were killing Kirk Cousins for making $25 million a year. Shut up. You don't understand how the game has evolved. Everything changes. Daniel Jones is fine. He's an above average to good quarterback. Remember, he was coming off of a big-time knee injury. And that has been the problem much more than Daniel Jones being a bad quarterback. Injuries, ball possession, control, what have you. But last night, the Giants, with no running game, still controlled the game for almost 36 minutes time of possession and walked away with only 15 points. And as we talked about 2 weeks ago with the Commanders, like, it's great to move the football between, people often say between the 20s. I would even say between, I don't know, the 10s. It's great to move the football there. Even when you get first and goal inside the 10. If you don't punch it in, if you don't convert for touchdowns, you're screwed. You're going to screw yourself. Even against a non-offensive juggernaut like Dallas was last night. 20 points. It's not like you walk away feeling good about the Dallas Cowboys last night. Not by any stretch. You feel relieved. You feel like, oh, well, okay, they shut down the run. Certainly they did a better job. There's no questions. Did they do a great job? We're going to have to wait and see when they go against an elite offense. The Giants are not an elite offense. We all know that. So let's just hold. The jury is still out. But it brings me to a point, and this is where I wanted to tie in the Commanders, and something that is very, very, very important for Sunday. If the Commanders can do what they did on Monday night. Oh, wait a second, Chris. How dare you say something nice about the defense? How dare you actually act like the defense contributed to that win on Monday night? If the Commanders can do what the Cowboys did by and large last night, this Sunday, as they did at times this past Monday, the Commanders can win. I'll explain more in just a flash right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, it is a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond on the Odyssey app. Always live and free there and on demand as well. You can catch any show, any segment. Maddie's got it all carved up, labeled for you. Also at theteam980.com. Not surprising, my boys, Fred and Birdie. Birdie occasionally calls in on the show, Birdie in Baltimore. But Fred is a New York Giants fan, and he hates Daniel Jones. And he said, Daniel Jones was not fine last night, Chris. A lot of passes to Wandale Robinson and Malik Nabers. They didn't catch because they were crappy passes made by Jones where they had no chance to catch it. Yes, he missed on a couple of throws. He was 29 of 40. Duh! He had 11 completions, and there were a couple of those passes where, yes, he was off.
And here's the other thing. You're talking to a DC audience.
Well, yes.
We're okay with him being good because it gives a little bit of competition, but, I mean, it's nothing insurmountable.
Yeah.
We don't really want the New York Giants to have a fantastic, great, superstar, stellar quarterback.
Well, I would also say this. I would think most Commanders fans were rooting for Daniel Jones and the Giants last night, though both teams were 1-2.
Oh, well, yeah, that's because
coming
also,
in because the Cowboys are a much greater threat.
And we've already beaten the Giants.
Correct.
Which gives us ability to lord it over.
Yeah, I'm not saying that like anybody was like wearing giant pom-poms last night. But I mean, if you had to pick between the two.
Oh, you were going for New York.
Right. Even though if the Giants would have won at 2-2, you know, again, they would theoretically not be in, they wouldn't be in first place, but they have the same amount of wins as you and possibly a same record if the Commanders lose to Arizona. Listen, we are not trying and going to break down Daniel Jones' every throw. Nobody's saying he was perfect. I said he was fine. He's not the problem. He wasn't the problem last night by any stretch. Please understand that when you don't have a running game and you ask your quarterback to throw 40 times a game, and your only big-time legitimate threat gets hurt in the last couple of minutes, and you have to drive for a game-winning touchdown, you're not going to be anything but in survival mode. Like, if you watched, I mean, there were so many good throws by Daniel Jones, but yet we're going to sit here and say, wow, he missed. And I do the same thing with Jaden Daniels. I said, you know, Jaden Daniels made some great, unbelievable throws, but he missed this and he missed that. And he missed this one and he missed that one. And you guys don't want to hear that either. Okay. So I'm just telling you, like, I see it on Twitter or X, and people with real football knowledge are just killing Daniel Jones last night. Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson were the Giants' only hope. And okay, they didn't make every throw. They didn't make every catch. They didn't make every play. And they fell just short, and they had to kick a bunch of field goals. That happens. But let's not act like Daniel Jones sucks. Now, I was not a Daniel Jones guy coming out of Duke. I thought he was fine. It was okay. Others really, really, really liked him. The Giants drafted him number 6 overall. And then the Giants doubled down and gave him $40-plus million a year. But Fred in Queens knows more about Daniel Jones than the Giants do? Than Joe Shane does? Than Brian Daboll does? Than whoever made the decision back in 2019 does? And by the way, you know, kind of the choice for the most part, if you're going to go quarterback, was Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins. I'll just leave that right there. So the Cowboys win 20-15. I picked the Cowboys yesterday. Linnell picked the Giants. I wouldn't have been shocked if the Giants won. I wouldn't have been really surprised if Daniel Jones had led a game-winning drive, but without Nabers, boy. And what the Giants have to now figure out, and we'll see if Nabers can even play next Sunday when they return. What the Giants have to figure out is, man, how do we get Malik Nabers the kind of touches and targets without him taking a beating going across the middle? That's what we got to figure out. You know, like, you're not going to get to play against Michael Davis, no offense, and run a bunch of hook routes and spit away and run towards the sideline every Sunday. We're going to have to figure that out. Otherwise, Malik Nabers and all of his tantalizing skill and talent is not going to be around. And for those of you that think I'm just an old geezer and just worried about injuries for no reason, it destroys teams each and every year. Some teams can overcome it. A small batch. They can overcome it. The Chiefs can overcome it. Most mortal teams, most human teams can overcome it. That's it. All right. That's the Thursday night football story. If you want to weigh in on that, go right ahead. Here's real quickly what I meant with my tease and how the Cowboys won that game by forcing 5 field goals last night is exactly how the Commanders can survive this Sunday in Arizona. And what I mean by that is several times, 3 times in the first half, last Monday night in Cincinnati, and once in the third quarter, they forced field goals. Now, some of those possessions on third down were porous throws or could have been better throws by Joe Burrow. But the Commanders put them in a situation to be in third and whatever when they had first and goal, or they were inside the 10 and a couple of first and goal spots. If you force field goals like the Cowboys did last night, like the Commanders did a couple of times on Monday night, even though the Commanders still gave up 33 points and still got bludgeoned and still did a lot of bad things, you have a chance. Or you create takeaways. And that's something they haven't done enough of. Those are the two chances the Commanders have against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jonathan Connor on Sunday. Those are the two chances, right? You either force a couple of turnovers, which is more than possible. Did I say Jonathan Connor? Sorry, James Connor. Sorry. My bad. I always screw that up for whatever reason. I think there was a football player named Jonathan Connor, but James Connor. Those are the chances you have. That's the only way they can survive. What way can they win this game on defense? Let's start there, and then we'll get into offense as we evolve on the show here on a Feel Good Football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. First, a trending alert right here, right now. All right, college football taking center stage tonight, and we have it right here on the Team 980. With pregame coverage beginning at 6 o'clock, Virginia Tech, the Hokes, down in Miami against the number 7, 4-0 Miami Hurricanes. Yeah, it's certainly going to be a tough task to deal with that. But, again, you can listen to it right here on the Team 980 as Virginia Tech on a short week. They look to rebound from the tough loss there at the end to Rutgers on Saturday in Blacksburg. Actually, the pregame show begins at 5:30, not 6 o'clock. The kickoff, again, coming up at 7:30 tonight right here, all on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, a big one in the Big Ten. We just mentioned Rutgers with the win against Virginia Tech. They host the Washington Huskies tonight, who are 3-1, 8 o'clock for that kickoff in that one. Tomorrow, Maryland at Indiana, that also right here on the Team 980. And, of course, the big one, Alabama and Georgia tomorrow night, number 4 Crimson Tide, hosting the number 2 Georgia Bulldogs. Baseball tonight, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, and the Philadelphia Phillies in town. Final series of the year to for the Washington Nationals. The Phillies are obviously going to the playoffs. You can hear all the action pending the rain beginning at 6:45. Charlie and Dave on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. All right, we'll get to your calls coming up. Just give me a couple minutes here to set this darn thing up. So the Commanders can only win by forcing a bunch of turnovers, which the Arizona Cardinals are susceptible to, right? Okay. That's one way you can win a game. We all know that. That's one way you can slow down an offense. And a talented quarterback and a great receiver already in Marvin Harrison Jr., James Conner, as we mentioned. That's one way you can go about it. Last week, Kyler Murray was intercepted once, only threw for 207 yards, 21 of 34. The Detroit Lions defense did not have a ton of sacks, so that just had one, Aiden Hutchinson, okay? But, even with that, and no fumbles, and no fumbles lost, the Arizona Cardinals were human on offense, right? It just didn't do a whole lot. Detroit kept them. Yeah, you know, I've watched some of the game. Detroit kept them the 5 attempts, 45 yards rushing. Detroit did. They won a 20-13 game on the road. And Detroit's defense isn't even great. But it was a defensive slugfest for the most part. But how they also won that game was keeping ball control and keeping the ball away from Arizona, 36 minutes and 49 seconds time of possession to 23-11. Now, listen, that A lot of that comes from the offense. Wanted to talk about the defense first, but that is one way to win this game. If you're not going to create three or four turnovers, if you're not going to force field goal after field goal, and again, that is a huge part of it, and it's exactly, not exactly, in the second half, that's what Detroit was able to do. They had two Prater field goals, did the Arizona Cardinals, and that was it, 42 and 45, and that was it. That was the scoring in the second half. But you have to have at least one big element of that to come true and to come home to roost. You have to be able to either keep the ball away from Kyler Murray and the Arizona offense, or you have to force turnovers, or you have to force field goals. And ideally, you come away with two of those three, right? Now, that's a lot of, well, you know, you have to, you all this stuff. But it's possible, right? It's possible. Again, Detroit's not a great defense by any means. Remember how bad they were last year? Yeah. Now, they're better this year. They're better this year, but they're not great by any stretch. Against Cincinnati, the Commanders, again, as I mentioned, forced a missed field goal because they tightened up inside the 10-yard line. They forced a McPherson 28-yard field goal and a McPherson 31-yard field goal, plus the missed field goal. Actually, the missed field goal was a little bit longer distance, so that wasn't inside the 10, that was inside the 20. But three times in the first half, they forced a missed field goal and two field goals. And then, in the second half, I thought there was one other field goal, but I guess not. I guess it was a touchdown. Either way, in the first half specifically, yeah, there was. Well, you know what it was? That's what it was. They scored on the fourth and goal. So technically, they stopped them on the third down. That was that pass along the back part of the boundary that T. Higgins couldn't come up with. And again, it was maybe a better throw. Maybe T. Higgins mistimed his jump. But it forced a fourth and goal from the one, and they threw from the two, and they threw the short touchdown pass that barely crossed the goal line. That's what it was. So they almost had four stops basically inside the red zone or inside the 10. And that is the way that you win games, when your defense largely stinks. You can give up a big play to Marvin Harrison. You can give up a touchdown to if you could take it away, great. If Emmanuel Forbes somehow figures out how to play corner, I assume Benjamin St. Juste will draw most of that assignment. I don't know. That's great. But you've got to be able to force field goals. Again, without the defense forcing three field goals, two of which were good, one was missed. In the first half, they do not win that game. They do not win that game. So for anybody out there propagating this nonsense that the defense is horrible, wretched, all-time worst DVOA, does nothing to help, slow down. Like, they are what they are. They're not good. They miss way too many tackles, although the tackling was better. They've been way too soft, although they were a little bit more what Dan Quinn and Joe Witt want them to be. They're not good on the back end. We all know that. Bobby Wagner maybe has lost a step. Everybody was goo-goo gaga over Frankie Louvu. He's made some plays, but he hasn't been like, oh my goodness. They don't have Cleland Farrell again, who had the first two sacks and the only two sacks going into last week. But the only chance they've got in this game, the only chance they've got, you know, again, short of forcing three or four turnovers, is by doing exactly what they did on Monday night. Let me back up. Not exactly what they did on Monday night, because in all likelihood, if they allow another 33 points, they're not going to win. In all likelihood. Generally, teams do not win allowing 33 points. I get all of you that want to throw out every stupid DVOA statistic and shove it down my throat like I've heard all week. God, makes me want to throw up. I know what my eyes tell me, and I know what common sense tells me. They're not good enough on defense. They stink by and large. But they forced 3 field goal attempts, 2 of which counted, 1 was missed, and they almost damn near walked away with another, a 4th down stop. Again, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, but let's not act like the defense was invisible on Monday night. Did not contribute at all to the win, and that's exactly what they need on Sunday. Let's get out to you on the phones, 301-230-0980. Let's get to our guy, AA, Athens, in Annapolis, to kick off the show on the leadoff spot on a feel-good football Friday. What up, eh? How are you?
I'm good. I have a question for you before
yes,
we start.
Yes.
Is it rude of me to try and listen to the show while I'm in the dentist chair getting a filling?
No. I would say if you can convert the dentist or the dental hygienist to be a fan of the show, and maybe they would. That's great. Or you just say, listen, you're carving up my mouth. I need a little rustle in my life.
Well, I tried to explain that, and I even threw in that I was a executive assistant to Matthew Essick. I don't think they bought it. But
Did they say what? Russell? Huh? Sure. Russell?
Well, they said as long as I'm not with Linnell, I'm good. But I'm talking
that
a little funny right now because my bottom lip is numb. But I tried to listen to the show while I was getting a filling.
So I appreciate that. I'm such an idiot. I once did a show, as Matt can attest, with my mouth completely numb, and I couldn't say like certain letters and certain words. And I think one time, the time that it happened, like in June or whatever it was, I tried to say like San Francisco, and I was like, San Francisco, no. You know, or something like that. I just couldn't pronounce like certain words and certain emphasis points. So I appreciate you as always, AA.
Hey, you're dedicated, Chris. You're dedicated. But what I will say is this: they've got to force turnovers on Sunday because I think their luck is running out with not fumbling yet, not throwing an interception. They've got to find a way to somehow keep that guy contained, have a spy on him, whatever. But they've got to cause turnovers, at least 2. If they don't, I think they lose. I mean, I heard that McBride, their tight end, is out, so that might help.
Yep, he
is. Still got Harrison. But long story short, I mean, I won't get long-winded about it. They have to force turnovers. They have to get more than 1 sack, and holding them to field goals will help. I say Washington wins 33-30 in overtime.
Yeah, you texted me that last night, and I said I so hope that's the case. But to your point, and obviously we mentioned the turnovers, they only have 1. They only have 1 forced turnover or takeaway this year. 1. You cannot survive like that when you tackle the way they do, when you're out of gaps the way they are, and when you can't cover anybody consistently, especially when you're going against higher-powered offenses. It's one thing to go against the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. It's one thing to go against the Giants offense, and that almost caught up to them. It's another thing to go against the Bengals, the Buccaneers, who are clicking on all cylinders, and Kyler Murray, even though Kyler Murray and the Cardinals did not have a great day on offense last Sunday. You know they're going to be more attentive to detail. You know they're going to be a little bit more screwed. And by the way, the Commanders on a short week, right? So what factor does that have? They played a full day and a half later than the Arizona Cardinals did last Sunday against Detroit. So yeah, if you walk away, like even though they haven't turned the ball over, they've had 5 fumbles this year, and they could have lost any one of them, including a key Zach Ertz fumble that Nick Allegretti recovered early in the 4th quarter on Monday night. If any of those come up,
you're right.
The opponent, right, and Jaden had 3 in Tampa. If any of them come up the opponent, this team doesn't have a chance because you're asking the defense, which right now is obviously not good enough, to do way more than they are capable realistically and in any possible scenario. And that's just not – I mean, that's a losing formula. So, again – it's in, and it's also impossible to keep asking the offense, like you said, to not turn the ball over and to keep scoring 38 points a game or whatever it might be so that you can have margin for error. Don't turn the ball over more than, say, once on offense this Sunday. But if you can get me, can you get me two takeaways? Can you get me a fumble recovery? Can you get me something on special teams? Can you get me a Kyler Murray bad throw because he's being harassed and you're closing the back trap door? Yeah, I think you can. Will they? I don't know. I don't know. I hope they do.
Well, hopefully strip sack for a fumble, and then hopefully an interception, and that'll hopefully be enough. But I'm done hearing this defensive coordinator talk about, you know, what they need to do better. They need to go out there and perform, because like I said, the hourglass has been turned over for a while.
No, I hear.
We're going to have a turnover of our own or breakdown.
Absolutely.
To your point.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I hope your mouth feels better, AA, after the phone call. I appreciate you as always. Have a great weekend, pal. We'll get to Dr. Sabah. We'll get to Mitch in Jersey. We'll get to you, 301-230-0980. I've got a couple other specific ideas, especially when it comes to containing or catching up to Kyler Murray. And we'll give you the specifics on that when we return on a Feel Good Football Friday, 150, Team 980, and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nah, it always puts you in a good mood. Little Zach Brown Band for you. On a Feel Good Football Friday, 301-230-09. Screwed it up. Sorry. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Is the number for you to hop on in. Talking about the defense first, let me give you a quick something. Talked about Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen constantly, right? The lack of impact, obviously it would help if they wake up and really, really make an impact, right? Not hurries, if they really make an impact. Quarterback hits, sacks, what have you. Stopping the run, tackling, all that stuff. It goes without saying. Here's one thing I would do. Okay, we talked about Daron Payne as a defensive end, and the sum I saw on tape out of Illinois, I'd put Johnny Newton as a defensive end in certain spots, maybe third and medium, third and seven, third and eight. Johnny Newton's got some athleticism, and he's got some hustle, and he's got some speed, and he's got some wheels. And Javonte Jean-Baptiste, is not slow either. I would put, again, third and six, third and seven, not every one of them. You don't have to do this all the time. I want to see in some spots on Sunday against Kyler Murray, who can run out that back door just like Baker Mayfield did constantly in week one. I want to see guys with wheels and legs. I think Johnny Newton is finally caught up. He's been fully practicing. He's been playing. He's been ramping up. I want to see him at defensive end. Not every snap. I mean, obviously, primarily, that's going to be Dorrance Armstrong. But it's okay to mix things up and to get fresh legs on a third and seven, third and eight to try and close that back door. It's okay. It's all right. It's legal. Just like I said, the game plan last week should have been the blitz from the secondary. Listen, I'm not going to repeat the same mantra again, but I think you can give Kyler Murray some different looks. If you do some of that, if you take some chances, if you do something different that they necessarily haven't seen a lot of. All right, let's get to Dr. Sabah right here on the Team 980. Doc, how are you?
Hey there, Christopher. I feel bad for Athan having to go to the dentist. That's never a good thing.
Yeah, not fun.
You know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you surgeons with your knives and your scalpels, how dare you?
You know, interesting that you mentioned that. I actually, after 3 years of college at Carolina, got accepted to dental school at Carolina. They said, you don't even have to graduate. Just come right on over.
There you go.
Well, let me just go check out, you know, a dentist. And he was putting like a little cap on a 30-year-old lady's teeth. She had a baby tooth still there. She was just putting no blood, no nothing. And then we went to his lab, and there's all these teeth, you know, like the. And I'm about to vomit. I can't do this. This is disgusting. Yeah. So I went to my dorm, and I said, nope, no dental. I'll go medical. So anyway, that's how it happened. So, yeah, I can do all the other stuff, but I cannot do the dental. It just grosses me out. I'm sorry, but it's weird how your brain works. Anyhow, I want to defend Daniel Jones. Why am I doing this? I don't get this. I'm looking at this game last night, and I'm like, oh, my God, Dak Prescott has the refs on his side. He's got a running game. His receivers actually catch the ball. Daniel Jones threw dimes on that the last drive before the drive. He threw right into that number 17's hand, dropped it. Then on the fourth down, I think it was the fourth down, on the sideline, like a tiptoe, that you know, the greatest of all time, Malik Nabers, he dropped it. Just like he dropped the fourth down pass right in his hands against us.
Drop passes are right now, you know, drop passes and keeping him healthy are right now the only things that he's, you know, he's got to overcome.
Right, but they want to always blame Daniel Jones because it's already been established that he's a failure. Yep. So the fans, the media, are going to all make sure, instead of giving the guy a chance, they say, oh, well, you know, we thought Geno Smith was a failure. He's not. We thought Baker Mayfield, no, he's not a failure. I mean, give people a chance. I am not the biggest fan of Daniels when he was coming out of college. I thought all he did was run. I saw him pass this past Monday. Now I'm going to give him a chance, and I may end up liking the guy, and he'll be my quarterback. I'm not going to just already have what I've decided already, like, confirmed. You get to give people a chance to do their thing. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to Daniel Jones. He was not why they lost last night. He wasn't why they lost against us.
I agree.
His wide receivers are putting him down. They are not helping him out.
And I like what you said about Daniels, and I can verify because you sent me a message, I think in-game or late-game or whatever, about how Jaden Daniels was making you change your mind. Now, I think you were wrong thinking he was only a running quarterback, but I know what you were trying to get at, and I think it's right of you, and I think it's smart of you, obviously, to evolve your opinion and analysis of a player as you go along. Listen, I like Drake May slightly more than Jaden Daniels. Right now, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury look like geniuses. That doesn't mean that I was wrong. It just means right now there's a different perspective that we have with more information, more data, and more observation. So good on you. Have a good week.
And get this, Chris. One more thing. Drake May is with a defensive guy. I don't know what that O'Connell, whatever guy is, the offensive, what's his name? Covington or whatever. I don't know who he is, but we know right now that Kingsbury is calling a masterful game because I can't predict the plays like I could with Turner and the other guy we had last year.
No, I hear
it. So it matters who you end up with as well.
Oh, absolutely. Anyway, you know, as people talk about fit all the time. Appreciate you. Thank you, Dr. Sabal. 159, Team 980. More coming up on how the defense can hang in there, can fight, can go blow to blow with the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray on Sunday and give themselves a chance to win a football game for a third week in a row. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.